and not on the things of the world. It's very easy to fix our eyes on the things that are seen. We need to remember the things that are unseen. And that's what the scripture tells us, to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. What is seen, God is using to prepare us for that which is eternal. What is seen is light and momentary affliction, even though it might feel mighty painful, it might feel mighty confusing, you might have a lot of questions about it. It's light, it's momentary, it is affliction, it is challenging, but God is using it to achieve in us something of much better glory. And how do we remember that? We remember that as we ascend the hill in worship, as we ascend and sit at His feet in worship. And as we worship, God does something in us that cannot be taken away. We choose the better thing. Remember Mary and Martha? And Martha was doing, I mean, nothing wrong. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She was doing what probably every one of us would do is, hey, let's be productive. Let's get this house cleaned up. Let's get food ready. I mean, let's be active. She was fine. But as Mary was sitting at Christ's feet, Christ said, hey, she has chosen that which is better, which cannot be taken from her. Sitting at Christ's feet and worshiping, listening to Him. And so hopefully this morning we'll worship the Lord at His feet. Psalm 124, a song of ascent, a song of David, says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the Lord would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us up, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I'll pray for us one more time and we'll get rocking with it. Father, thank you for this psalm, a song of ascent. Lord, I pray that as we work our way through this, that our hearts would sing, that our hearts would rejoice, Father, and that we would never forget that you have called us to feast at your table. And therefore, every day we can ascend and we can worship you and we can partake in a feast that is far greater than anything this world offers. So, Lord, let us even feast now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to us through the Word of God, that this Word would be the bread of life for our hearts, for our minds, for our souls. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Israel had a number of feasts in the Old Testament. And so, you know, people not only would ascend to worship in regular time, but they would come from far away at certain times. Think about the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths, you know, where they would go and they would celebrate how God tabernacled with them in the wilderness. And this is one of those songs as they would go up that they would sing. I've been to Israel one time and it was a great trip. And we actually went during the Feast of Tabernacles. So it was interesting to see that people were still celebrating that, putting little booths, little tents basically on their back porch or on their rooftop and celebrating. It was pretty cool. And as we were driving up on our tour bus to Jerusalem, we went through some of these songs of ascent. So it was really a neat time. And it was a time in Jerusalem of feasting and of celebrating. And you know what? Today, we get to celebrate daily that Christ, He is our temple. And even not only that, but we are His temple. And He dwells within us. So that's something we can celebrate daily, not just once a year, but we can ascend the hill of worship daily and celebrate who He is and what He has done. And we can feast on Him daily. And this is a psalm that reminds us who is in control and where our help comes from. So what a great reminder, you know, the election didn't turn out the way I wanted, or it doesn't look like it's going to turn out. Who knows how it'll end up turning out in the courts or whatnot. I've turned the media off for a while, and I don't know what the latest is. But, yeah, but you know what? My help is not in government. My help is not in who is in the White House or even who's in the Senate or who's in the House of Representatives. Do I want a certain type of candidate there? Do I want certain type of policies there? Absolutely. Most definitely. And I'm going to think through that, and I'm going to pray through that, and I'll discuss that with people. But my help is in the Lord. And this world will swallow us alive if the Lord is not our help. So verse 1, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. Now I'll pause there. I assume the Lord is on the side of certain political philosophies, but I can't say that I'm 100% sure they're not, but I know the Lord is on the side of his church. And I know God is for his church. I know God is committed to his church. I know that God is building his kingdom and he is refining his church. So when I read this, I don't need to read this and say this from a Democrat Republican point of view or a Alabama Auburn point of view or a whatever. This is the church. This is God's people. And God is on the side of his church. He is for his people. He has purchased them with the precious blood of Christ. And so he is for them, not against them. So we can say, as the church, as those who have been bought with the precious blood of Christ, as those who have been purchased, who have been redeemed, who have been reconciled, who have been elect, who have been chosen, the Lord is on our side. And if the Lord hadn't been on our side, let Israel now say, as verse 1 says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, the world is going to rise up against the people of God. The world is going to rise up against the church of Christ. How do we know? Because the world rose up against Christ. And if the world rose up against Christ, then the world is going to rise up against Christ's people. Now, we've been certainly blessed in America not to have violence, at least too much violence, against the people of God. I don't know what the future holds, but I know all over the world, I have to remember that I'm a part of a global church, a universal church, and that I have brothers and sisters all over the world that are struggling and undergoing persecution. And we need to pray for them. The people are going to rise up against Christ and his church. People are rising up all over the world against Christ and his church. But the Lord is on the side of his people. And if the Lord had not been on the side of his people, when the people rise up, then verse 3 says, then they would have swallowed us up alive. Swallowed us up alive. Like, not even just the brutality of that, of eating someone alive. I mean, that's what animals do. They eat other animals alive. You know, we hunt, but we don't eat them alive. So they swallowed us up. I think somebody, either my phone or my phone might be going. Maybe that's just me or maybe somebody else. Hopefully it's just me. But anyway, back to verse 3. They would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. The world desires to consume the church. The world is angry at the church. They have kindled that fire of anger in their heart. The enemy is kindling that. And Peter says, hey, be alert. The enemy is like a roaring lion looking whom he might devour. And he wants to devour them alive. And he is going to kindle anger against the church. But again, who is on our side? The Lord is on our side. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, is on our side. The Almighty One, the Eternal One, the Omnipotent, Omniscient One. There's no one more powerful. There's no one more present. There's no one more knowing. God, He is in control, and He is on the side of His people. Says verse 4, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. And so we see here Him comparing the enemy, the world, to a animal desiring to eat someone alive. Then a flood water wanting to come and sweep us away. A torrent that wants to come and go over us. Raging waters that would go over us and swallow us alive and sink us down to the pit. It's real easy here to allow the enemy into your life to sink you down to the pit of despair, to the pit of losing hope, to the pit of discouragement. And that's not the place where the Lord wants us to live. The Lord sets our feet on the rock. The Lord takes us from the miry pit and puts us on the rock, a secure rock, so that when the storms do come, that we don't sink down. We're not swallowed alive. We aren't covered over by the torrential waters that rage against us. No, we have Christ, who is our ark, and who in Christ we rise above the floodwaters. We rise above the floodwaters of despair and discouragement. We rise above the floodwaters of no hope. We rise above the floodwaters of retaliation and believing that it's up to us to retaliate. No, we rise above that. We have an eternal hope that is secure. We have a fate that is fixed. We don't retaliate with anger. We love our enemies. We love them with the truth. It is the Lord's to judge, and the Lord, and everyone will stand before the Lord and receive their due judgment. And we leave that to the Lord, and we love, and we seek to go out and serve. We in the church have been given the ministry of the towel to serve, the towel to love, the towel to go care for people, to show them compassion, to do justice, to walk mercifully, and to live humbly before the Lord. So we go out and we seek to be merciful, we seek to be just, and we seek to walk humbly with the Lord. And as we do that, we again don't allow the raging waters of this world to drag us down into the pit of despair or into the pit of ruin. No, our feet are on the rock, and the Lord is on our side. And so we're not swallowed alive. We're not swept away. Verse 6, so blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Again, this picture of an attacking animal and seeking to devour us. No, we have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. The plans of the enemy are broken. The plans of the world are broken. And the people of God escape the wrath of those plans, whether daily or whether ultimately. Because, as verse 8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So today we have to ask ourselves, where is our help? Do we believe that our help comes from the people of the world or from the things of the world or the governments of the world? Or do we believe that our help is in the name of the Lord? Yes, people matter. Yes, governments matter. Yes, those things are important. But if my hope is fixed on those things and those people, then I'll lose hope. I will sink into despair, into discouragement, into depression. My hope is on the Lord. And so if my hope is on the Lord, then my joy can rise in the moments of darkness. Then my light can shine in the moments of darkness. And I think this is important to remember every day as we go throughout our day, because every day we're going to face trouble. Every day we're going to face difficulty. Every day there's going to be things that want to come up against us. But those are light and those are momentary. The Lord is on our side. He's using those things to achieve in us a greater glory. He's using those things to sanctify us. He's using those things to purify us. He's using those things to strengthen our character. He's using those things as well to reveal us, to test us, and to show us, you know, where we actually do misplace our hope, where we actually do misplace our joy, where we actually do misplace our trust. Now, our trust is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. Our joy is in the Lord. And the Lord is on our side because we're on His side. In the church, I'm on His side. Again, I am His. He brought me to His team. I'm not bringing Him to my team. He brought me to His team. He brought me to His team through the cross. He purchased me to be on His team. He elected me to be on His team. He chose me to be on His team. He died for me to be on His team. So I'm on His team. And so as I'm on His team, then I run His plays. I don't run my own play. We just got through with our little flag football season with my little sons, and I coach their offense on one of them, and I coach the defense on the other. And when they come to the huddle, huddle up, boys. Whose play? My first grade team. I'm not running one of their plays. They'll draw up a play, and it'll be all right, coach. I'm going to go this way, and I'm going to circle over here. I'm going to fall down, and I'm going to act like I'm hurt. And then I'm going to jump up, and I'm going to run way over here, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be over here. It's like, your quarterback can't even throw 5 yards. Why are you trying to run a deep out? You know, he can't throw it. He can't throw a spiral 10 feet. You know, we're not running that play. You're a first grader. You don't know what's going on. And in the grand scheme of the world, I'm a first grader. I don't know what's going on. I want to run this and that and that. But no, I daily need to come to the huddle, come to the Lord, get in his huddle. He's the one who chose me on His team. Same thing with me. I drafted those little boys. I chose them on my team. God chose me. I come to His huddle. All right, Lord, what's your playbook? What's your playbook today, God? I'm on your team. And let me go and run this play. Let me go and live this day according to your playbook, God. And in God's playbook, hey, the Lord's on my side. The Lord, He has brought me to His table. He has brought me to His table to feast. He's brought me on His team to win. As Bert said, hey, I'm a Georgia Dog fan as well. But I don't go to the Dogs to find my winning satisfaction. I go to Christ. He has won the battle. He satisfies my heart. Our help is in the name of the Lord. He made heaven and earth. He is the one in control. So instead of allowing the enemy to sink the teeth of despair into you, to bring the raging waters of discouragement over you, no, know that the Lord is on your side. Know that the plans of the enemy are broken. Your help, your hope, your joy, your trust, your faith is in the name of the Lord. Therefore, your life, your present, your future is secure. God has broken the chains that the enemy has upon you. You have escaped His wrath. You have escaped His ruin. And now your feet are firmly planted. And your eternity is secure. I'll pray for us. And then we can break off into our rooms. Father, thank You that You are on our side. And the only reason You're on our side is because we're on Your side, Lord. And we're on Your side. We're on Your team. We want to live according to the plans that You have for us. We know those plans are not to harm us. They are to prosper us. We know those plans give us a hope and a future. We know you work everything out in those plans according to your purposes to refine us for our good, for your glory. So, Lord, let us daily come in and hear your plans and get your playbook and run your plays, Lord, which tell us to go forth and rejoice in suffering, to go forth and rejoice in the Lord daily, to go forth and give thanks, to go forth and show gratitude, show love, to have compassion, to live justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly. Lord, give us grace to daily live according to your design and praise you, Lord, that as we abide in you, you are on our side and you do not allow the plans of the enemy to prosper, but you thwart them. You destroy them. You did it on the cross. You're doing it today and you would do it for eternity because you are the one in control of all things. You are the maker of heaven and earth. And we praise you for your glory. We praise you for your strength and your power. In Christ's name, amen.